Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's mostly clear and 58 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to be partly cloudy today, just a slight chance of some very isolated showers, a high around 72. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. In local news, the City of Atlantic is once again warning residents about keeping their lawns mowed and not allowing the clippings to be blown in the streets. City Administrator Doug Harris said at Wednesday night's City Council meeting that city crews are getting behind in mowing properties that they are receiving complaints about because of the volume of calls being received.
This has been quite a year. We get a lot of calls, but just getting behind. I mean, Roger's saying he's having a real hard time keeping up with the parks, I know, in terms of the nuisance abatements, because we don't even send people notices under our ordinance until it's a foot high. Time they get the notice, we give them a few days, then a couple more days to get out and find out where they did it, and then to schedule and get our crews out there to abate it. By that time, it's a jungle, and people understandably upset.
And if residents fail to comply, the city mows their property and bills the property owner at rates which are nearly double what it would have cost the landowner to have the problem taken care of on their own. Harris said the city needs to reconsider how to better enforce the ordinance, especially with regard to repeat offenders, and the council seemed to agree. Mayor Dave Jones reminded the citizens and business owners of Atlantic about the ordinance prohibiting grass clippings from being blown onto city streets.
The thing is, and I hear this, I'm getting more and more complaints, is that do not mow your grass into the streets. We've got an ordinance against it. But all that goes down storm sewer, and it goes down storm sewer, goes in our sewer system, and what happens? Get things clogged up. When you talk about rates going up, that's going to be one of the reasons why it could be happening, but it could be a reason. So please just blow it on your own property, or don't blow your grass clippings on the streets.
Jones says if residents and business owners would simply make sure the clippings are blown back onto their lawns, there would be no need for warnings or citations to be issued when the complaints are followed up on. News time is 8:02.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
A bridge replacement project along Highway 92 here in Cass County received a financial boost this week. The office of Senator Tom Harkin has announced the Iowa Department of Transportation will receive a $400,000 Highways for Life pilot program grant from the U.S. Department of Transportation's Federal Highway Administration to replace a bridge on Highway 92. The bridge will be constructed using prefabricated superstructure and substructure elements. It will be the first bridge in Iowa to be installed using the lateral bridge slide method. The Highways for Life program is intended to advance longer-lasting highways using innovative technologies and practices to accomplish the fast construction of efficient and safe highways and bridges. The innovative technologies and practices encouraged through the Highways for Life pilot program will improve construction time and help to ensure that the new bridge will provide drivers along Highway 92 with a safe crossing for many decades. Harkin says he's pleased that the Federal Highway Administration has made the project possible and says he looks forward to seeing the results. The City Council in Walnut will hold a regularly scheduled meeting this evening. On the agenda for their 5:30 p.m. session is the consideration of and possible action on resolutions calling for the transfer of funds from the Local Option Capital Improvements Fund into the General Fund, the transfer of tax increment financing funds into the Debt Service Fund, the transfer of funds from the General Fund into the Fire Department Equipment and Ambulance Trust Funds. The Council will also consider and possibly act on a resolution approving and adopting the Pottawatomie Countywide Multi-Jurisdictional Hazard Mitigation Plan. Other business includes discussion with regard to the regulation of agricultural spraying within the city limits of Walnut, a law enforcement services contract with the Pott County Sheriff's Department, a possible streetscape enhancement project, and the Walnut Antique Show, including the use of public streets and rights-of-ways, camping fees at the city park, and residential trash collection during the June Antique Show. The council may also act tonight on a recommendation for a replacement to the Board of Adjustment with that person's term to expire in June of 2018. The city of Harlan has announced they will be receiving a new canine for the Harlan Police Department. After a few fundraisers, Officer Tim Pedersen recently gave an update on the movement for the department to purchase the dog. He told the city leaders that the department has raised $11,500. The cost for the dog is $5,500 and $2,000 for a new kennel. The remainder of the funds will be used for miscellaneous expenses. The city is expecting to receive the dog within the next couple of months, and training will begin in October. Residents in the city of Harlan who let their dogs run at large will be paying a more significant fine in the near future. The Harlan City Council Tuesday approved two ordinances pertaining to dog laws in the city, with one of them related to heftier fines. The owner of the animal will see a $100 fine for the first offense, with a second offense $200 and third $300. A fourth offense would lead to a fine of $500 or imprisonment not to exceed 30 days. Vicious dogs at large fines will also increase with a first offense, $200, second offense, $300, third, $400, and fourth, $500, or again imprisonment. Other fines added into the ordinance include a $25 fee for impounding the animal on the first offense, and that doubles to $50 for the second and $75 thereafter. The Mills County Sheriff's Office reports two arrests occurred Tuesday. 21-year-old Thomas James Bertelson of Glenwood was arrested at around 2:20 a.m. on a warrant for failure to appear on an original charge of driving while revoked. He was being held in Mills County Jail on $2,000 bond. And 39-year-old Roy Allen Tyson of Omaha was arrested at around 9:30 a.m. on warrants for ongoing criminal conduct, theft in the first degree, fraudulent practice, and unauthorized use of a credit card. His bond was set at $55,000. The CAM Youth Sports Program's Baseball Softball Diamond Project recently received a $2,500 boost from the Trevor Fredrickson Memorial Fund. The project's goals include a backstop and outfield fence improvements. In addition, a Boy Scout working on his Eagle Scout project is building a concession stand and bathroom for the facility. Melanie Petty, Trevor's mother and fund representative, said that Trevor had an undeniable passion for baseball and he loved kids. The fund's mission is therefore to support projects and organizations that represent Trevor's interests. The Trevor Fredrickson Memorial Fund, a nonprofit corporation, was founded after the 21-year-old Atlantic native lost his life in a 2009 apartment fire. And since his passing, over $68,000 has been donated back to the community. The T. Fred Memorial Golf Tournament and Silent Auction, held annually on the second Saturday in August at Atlantic's Nishna Hills Golf Club, is the fund's only fundraiser. For more information, you can follow the Trevor Fredrickson Memorial Fund on Facebook. Elsewhere in the news, a Northwest Iowa man accused of killing his mother and kidnapping another woman said in a written statement to police that he doesn't remember killing his mother, although he recalls choking her. The Fort Dodge Messenger reports the statement by 21-year-old Kirk Levin of Early was presented to jurors Wednesday in Webster County during his trial. Levin is charged with first-degree murder in the January death of Marilyn Schmidt. He faces third-degree kidnapping charges for allegedly abducting 21-year-old Jessica Vega. Newspaper reports Levin gave the statement after a videotaped police interview where he repeatedly denied killing Schmidt. Levin says in the statement that he's the only person who could have killed his mother. He says he can't explain his thinking and doesn't remember picking up Vega. Homicide investigators are on the scene of a shooting in Des Moines. KCCI-TV said that incident occurred just after 2 a.m. today at a business park on the north side of the capital city. Police say a woman had reported a man being assaulted, and officers who responded found a man's body. It had gunshot wounds to the chest. Police spokesman Jason Halifax said the woman is being interviewed. The names of those involved have not yet been released. The man suspected of kidnapping two Central Iowa girls last month told the state parole board in his three bids for release that his treatment in prison had made him worthy of parole. The Des Moines Register reports Michael Klunder argued in his appeals that he no longer was dangerous and that parole would help him adjust back into society more than being released without supervision. He was eventually released in 2011 under provisions of the state's time-served law. Police suspect Klunder abducted 15-year-old Kathleen Shepard and a 12-year-old friend on May the 20th in Dayton. The younger girl was able to escape. Klunder was later found dead. Some of Kathleen's blood has been found, and that's dampened hopes of finding her alive. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the Obama administration is defending the National Security Agency's right to collect telephone records of U.S. citizens. The administration calls such information a critical tool in protecting the nation from terrorist attacks, but it is not confirming news reports in Britain's The Guardian that the NSA has been collecting the telephone records of Verizon customers in the U.S. under a top secret order. The search and rescue operation at a deadly building collapse in Philadelphia has been halted, at least for now. After working through the night, firefighters and rescue workers remain at the scene. The last person known to be trapped, a 61-year-old woman, was released from the rubble overnight nearly 13 hours after the collapse. A building under demolition crashed onto a neighborhood thrift store yesterday morning, killing six people. 14 people were injured. And the number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits fell 11,000 last week to a seasonally adjusted 346,000, a level consistent with steady job growth. On Friday, the government will report on May employment. Economists expect it will show a modest gain of some 170,000 jobs. News time is 8:10.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
In our funeral announcements, Lorraine Dorothy Hester, age 94, of Avoca, died Sunday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Lorraine Hester will be today at 11 o'clock at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Walnut. Pauly Jones Funeral Home at Avoca has arrangements. Ranald Hansen, age 87, of Elkhorn, died Monday at Allegiant Creighton Medical Center. Funeral services for Ranald Hansen will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton is in charge of the arrangements. Betty Ruth Crone, age 86, of Shelby, died Monday in Harlan. Funeral services for Betty Crone will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the United Lutheran Church in Shelby. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Shelby is in charge of the arrangements. Dominic Higgins, age 16, of Yale, died Tuesday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Services for Dominic Higgins will be this Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Panorama High School Auditorium in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. And Robert Piper, age 82, of Cypress, Texas, and formerly of Greenfield, died Tuesday. Services for Robert Piper are currently pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. The news and funeral announcements were brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware. They've been serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.